Oh, praise Jesus. You know, it's just an honor to be here again with all of you. Thank you for coming out. I'm looking forward to a tremendous night. You know, it's just a blessing to you guys came just in time, Patrick. I love you guys. They're my good friends. Oh, Patrick, why don't you just come up here? I just got the mic like 10 seconds ago. You guys just come up. Yeah. We just love you guys. These are my good friends. They drove all the way from Lincoln. Come stand up with me.
Thank you.
Lincoln, Nebraska, to come to church tonight. What a blessing. You know, Patrick, I want to just ask you a question. I just want to kind of tell the people. Because you guys went to the National Day of Prayer, right, in Washington. You know, they were invited as representative for Hawaii, right? Yeah, come up, Sarah. Come up, Sarah. And just tell us what happened there. Tell them what happened.
Go ahead. I'll let you. She's a much better speaker than I am.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, these are the pastors that have married us, that have covered us, and have been through a lot with us. And we just thank you for your prayer covering and just continuing to just be so faithful to us, because we always need a ton of prayer. But we had an amazing time at the National Prayer Breakfast. God just really opened incredible doors of opportunity. And we've been also invited to the Korea National Prayer Breakfast in Korea in June coming up too. But it's just an amazing opportunity of meeting some really just incredible movers and shakers, and being able to be in the presence of so many leaders that just love the Lord and see the direction of the country.
It was beautiful. It was really great.
Yeah.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God. After a 5-hour drive. Praise Jesus. We're just so glad to have him. You know, we're just blessed. You know, Meliana to me is one of the best storytellers. I can't wait to have the book. I'm encouraging her. She's going to do it. I know that she's doing it, and she's doing it. She's going to write a book on how to reign in life. Right? You know, based on that scripture in Romans that we can reign in life. So give Sister Melia a hand as she comes.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Again, it's such a joy to be back here in His house tonight. Let's all lift up our hand again. Let's thank Him for abiding in our midst, bringing us back here tonight. Holy Spirit, we want to take a moment to say thank you. We love you, we adore you, and we worship you, God. We want to say thank you for your word that we have heard this morning. We want to say thank you for your presence abiding in our midst. Holy Spirit, we want to so welcome you, Lord, here in this place, that you come and have your way, Lord. You have placed a desire in our heart that you have allowed us to drive here. It doesn't matter how long, but because we are so hungry for your word, that's why we are here tonight. We came here not for anything else, Lord, but to hear from you, because one word from heaven, it will touch us, it will heal us, it will set us free, and it will give us life. And we want to say thank you. We want to thank you ahead of time for the miracles, signs, and wonders. We want to thank you ahead of time for what you are going to do, not only tonight, next 3 nights, but to continue on in this church, not only in this church, but in our lives. And we want to say thank you. We love you, we bless you, and we worship you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. You know, on our way here tonight, I was just happened. Actually, I got a text yesterday. I mean, the word this morning. How many were here this morning? Some of you that were not here this morning, you need to grab a hold of that word. Whatever you name it, that's what it's going to be, right? Whatever you call it, that's what it's going to be. Again, it's so important how important it is for us to prophesy and speak life to every situation. So anyway, on our way here to, yesterday, I got a text from a pastor's wife from the last church where we were. She texted me because on Friday night, there was this lady. She came up the night before, the grandma was there, just up on the front, praying and just crying. And then our last night, that was Friday night, her daughter and the grandma came up the front again and then asked for prayer. And they brought a picture. Well, it showed up on her, show us a picture on her phone. They have been in the hospital for 3 weeks for her little grandson. Grandson is about 1 year old, and he has been, is that called intubated? Is that how you call it? When you all tube up, you know, and just lay there ready, don't know what's going to happen. And he has been laying there for 3 weeks. And she brought she showed us the picture and asked for prayer. So we start praying. Right away on Friday night, again, like what I said, we pray. You know, sometimes when you pray, it's God, I'm speaking life, but it's up to you. Do a miracle. So we start praying and decreeing life over this, over the grandbaby. You know, they show us the picture, and I start praying, God, please do a miracle, oh God. Just do a miracle. Touch this baby. Heal him, oh God, so he can be totally healed and go home. So that was Friday night. We started decreeing and declaring and praying over this baby. So yesterday on our way here, I got a text from the pastor's wife. She said, oh, there is improvement on the baby. Improvement on the baby. Start moving, you know, because when we saw the baby just laying there, all kind of tube on him. And then she said, please continue to pray because the doctor said there is improving on the baby, on the little boy. And on our way here tonight, you know how you look on Facebook, scrolling down. And I scroll down because somebody tagged me. You know when somebody tag your name, that means you'll go in right away. And the grandma, because the grandma tagged my name on it, and I click on it, and here is their little grandson, no more tube. He is sitting there and playing in the hospital. I tell you what, I start crying, you know. I start crying and I said, God, we offered that prayer on Friday night. You heard us. You heard us. And I was just saying, God, thank you so much for honoring what we are decreeing and praying. Amen. And I am just so grateful because we are serving a faithful God. He is a faithful God that hears our prayers. So that's why I want to encourage you. I know Patrick is here tonight. That is another miracle. You know, that is another miracle. Maybe you're going to have him share in some other time. But I tell you what, God is so faithful. When his people gather together, two or three agree together in his name. In other words, if we just literally take his word as it is and believe it, he will do what he said. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Thank you, Lord.
Actually, we were both crying coming over here when she showed me the picture of the little toddler, you know, because we saw him all full of all kind of tubes. And then I can still see Mama's face on Friday night at the altar crying out. And Meliana and I are decreeing and prophesying and praying over him. And then guess what? No more tubes sitting there playing with his toys. I mean, who does that? Only God can do that. And you know, I just know that people have said, John, well, do you believe in name it, claim it? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. When, if that's your grandson, if that's your grandson laying in that hospital, I do believe in name and claim it. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's Patrick, my friend, who is hooked up to all kinds of devices. We almost lost him with an aneurysm in his stomach. Now, yes, we want to name it and claim it, because he's too young to have an aneurysm. And if they hadn't found it, he would have been dead and not sitting here in his right mind to drive his precious wife 5 hours to church. Come on. You know what I'm saying? I believe in naming and claiming. You know, the other day, I was rocked by a statement. I was absolutely rocked by it. I was rocked by the statement just because of what Meliana and I are doing right now around the world and wanting to do more for the Lord. I was rocked by a statement that Jesus said, that most of you know it, and I'm going to break it down tonight. When at the end of Luke 10, I believe it's 37, he said, go and do likewise. Everybody say, go and do likewise. And when he said, go and do likewise, that is not an invitation. There's not a question. It's not to say, well, I'm having a bad day today, and maybe I'll go and do likewise tomorrow. That is a command, to go and do likewise. In the contents of that, I want you to turn in your Bible tonight to Luke chapter 10. We're going to start with a verse 25, the first verse, because actually this first verse of this parable. And I believe that of all the parables that Jesus preached, this probably is the most simplified one of all of them to understand. But there are things that begin to jump out at me, out of the pages, out of me the last couple of days that I want to unpack tonight. Because I believe that we're in a season right now that we need to take these truths and let them burn in our heart strongly on the inside of us. And this is what it says. And I'm going to read from the NIV tonight. It says in Luke 10:25, on an occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Everybody say, test Jesus. How many know that's not a good idea? He said, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that that's one of the greatest questions we could ask. I believe that's a great question, Meliana. What can I do to get to eternity? We should be asking that question. And I love the fact that Jesus isn't intimidated by a test. I love the fact that Jesus is not worried about if someone's testing him. Are you hearing one? And trying to prove, because this particular expert of the law, he's trying to prove that he's right. He's not asking a question because he wants to get information from Jesus. He wants to find Jesus say something, Meliana, that he can trip Jesus up on. But you can't trip God up. Come on. He's way ahead of you. So he's way ahead of me. He's way ahead of all of us. And you can't trip God up. I'm so thankful tonight that, you know what, that God's way ahead of me. Come on. He has my future in the palm of his hand. He has your future in the palm of his hand. He has your children in the palm of his hand. He has the world in the palm of his hand. But this man is just testing God because he wants to somehow, he's got this indignation, this anger. And you know what I love about Jesus, Meliana, is that Jesus is not angry at the man for being angry at him. Because Jesus has something called righteous anger. Everybody say righteous anger. See, righteous anger is different than human anger. Righteous anger doesn't want to destroy the person. Righteous anger wants to heal the person. Righteous anger wants to reveal truth to the person. Righteous anger wants to deliver a person. That's why he says that, you know, in your anger, don't sin. Because anger is not a sin, but it's a sin when it wants to hurt somebody. Come on. And so in the question, he said, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And then Jesus goes on to say, what is written in the law, he replied, and then throws a question back at him that I want to camp out for a moment and says, how do you read it? Everybody say, how do you read it? Isn't it interesting that someone could read one story and someone could read the other but interpret it differently? And the reality is not how you're going to get to attend, but how do you read it? Because you know what? That means to tell me that I could read it wrong. I could read it, and it could mean the opposite of what God wrote. I could read it according to my set of cultural lenses. I could read it toward my Midwest culture. I could read it to my Polynesian culture. I could read it according to my hillbilly culture, you know? I could read it according to my set of lenses. How do you read it? Because, Meliana, how I read it is very important. Because if I don't read it right, I won't apply it right. Because he's not asking, because the thing about this theologian is what's amazing to me, is that he's trying to give a right answer, but without a right application. People can give you a right answer. Oh yeah, Jesus did die on the cross, but there's no application in their life. Are you following me? This man's a teacher. He's a teacher with no fire on the inside. And it's interesting that when he asks, how do you read it? And then what does the law say? How do you read it? Now, what hit me is something that we all know. How many in this room want to live? How many want to live? If I were to line up people that are outside of the room, all people want to live. Let me just tell you how to live. So the man says, okay, how do I read it? The Bible says, he quotes Deuteronomy 6:5 and Luke 19:18. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's got a right answer, wrong application. But this is what hit me. You have answered correctly, said the Lord. Jesus replied, do this, and you will live. Everybody say, do this, and you shall live. See, I don't need to read a book to find how to live. I don't need to ask anybody else how to live. If I want to live, I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. And if I do that, I'm going to live. That means I'm going to live a long time. I'm going to live, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to live healthy. I'm going to live prosperous. I'm going to live in a way because my God wants to give me life and life more abundantly. I am going to live. I come to church not because I want to die. I come to church because I want to live. Brother Dennis, you know, Pastor Dennis, JC, I want to live. I want my kids to live. I want my family to live. I want Pebble Creek to live. Come on. I want America to live. And see, what happens, I think, is Jesus is saying, listen, when you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself, guess what you're going to experience? You're going to experience a life that you're not experiencing right now. Oh, come on. Do that and you shall live. In other words, but then what begins to happen is that he says, but who is my neighbor? Because sometimes we want to bless only people we like. Aren't we define our neighbor as somebody who is within our own circle? Come on. We define our neighbor as someone that can add value to us. We don't define our neighbor according to how God defines our neighbor. Are you hearing me? Because you got to understand, church, loving our neighbor is something that is not a question, not an invitation. It is a command. And when I love my neighbor, I am going to experience life. And what does it mean to love my neighbor? So Jesus goes into the famous parable. And he said, because this man wanted to justify himself, he thought that he could give his own interpretation of what his neighbor was. Well, my neighbor is only white folks from Kansas City. And come on, you know what I'm saying. You know the reality. And no, that's not only your neighbor. My neighbor is only Jews. Or my neighbor is only my own culture. My neighbor is my only people on my same economic level. Come on, that's my neighbor. That's not what he's talking about. So he has to correct the man because he loves the man. And he wants to show his audience who is the neighbor. And I'm going to camp out at this. And then he goes into the story and says, If he replied, Jesus said, a man was going down. Everybody say, going down. No, sis. I don't want to go down, Sarah. I want to go up. I don't want the church to diminish. I want the church to increase. But we read that because every word is power-packed. He's descending. He's not ascending. How many know that if you're going down, you'll probably get in trouble? He's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, ladies and gentlemen, historically, this path, even up until the 1930s, was called the Bloody Path because there were robbers that would hang out all over this path. And when someone was by themselves, they would grab them, rob them, and abuse them. And it was known. So usually what most people did is most people went to from Jerusalem to Jericho in a large group or packing, or carrying a gun, or carrying weapons to protect them on this particular journey. But it's interesting that this man is going by himself. How many know that we have people right now going downhill making decisions by themselves, right? They're on the wrong path. And it's interesting to me that Jesus doesn't correct the man that's on the wrong path. He corrects the priest and the Levite. Come on. He doesn't correct the man that shouldn't have been on that road. Oh, hear me. He isn't judging the man for going down the wrong path. Because every one of us in this room, how many have ever gone down a wrong path at one time? We all have made wrong choices, made wrong decisions, got ourselves in the wrong position, on the wrong road. He never corrects this Jew for going down the wrong path, but he does correct the priest and the Levite. Oh. Because why? Now notice this. You got to see this. He says, when he was attacked by robbers, everybody say attacked by robbers. When he said attacked by robbers, it's actually, one translation says, he fell into the hands of robbers. So what did that tell me? Fell into the hand of the robber. Who is the robber? He's a thief and a robber. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. So what does this mean? He fell in the hands of the enemy. He fell in the hands of Satan. He fell in the hand of his addiction. He fell into the hands of his slavery. He fell into the hands of pornography. He fell into the hands of lust. He fell into the hands of rage. He fell into the hands. Oh, come on, church. Because we have a whole culture that is falling into the hands of the robber. Oh, come on, church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm going to preach a little bit right now. Because what I'm called to do is, see, I am different. I don't want to judge you by what you're dealing with right now. Because your behavior doesn't necessarily define you. My response to you, oh, because here you are, you fell into the hands of the robber. And I could have walked down that same path myself. I could have been on that same road that myself. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be in the same condition as you and fell into the hands of the enemy. Our family that is sick physically, come on. Fallen into the hands of the robber. That's why we got to cry out for a move of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't want, like when mothers show me pictures of their little sons at 2 years old or between 1 and 2, little guy hooked up to two wires. I don't like seeing that. We need an anointing that breaks the yoke, breaks the bondage, heals the sick, raises the dead. Come on, church. People have fallen into the hand of robbers. And so when I understand, because listen, my neighbor is not just the people that I go to church with. My neighbor is America. My neighbor is Lithuania. My neighbor is Hawaii. My neighbor is an African American. My neighbor is a Filipino. My neighbor is whoever has fallen into the hand of a robber. Oh, come on. It fell into his hands. Well, you know, robbers don't treat people right. The thief is never going to treat someone right. Notice what he's attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. And they stripped him. They stripped him of his identity.
They stripped him of what he was wearing, what he was carrying. They stripped him. They humiliated him. They shamed him. They coerced him. They manipulated him. That's what they did, ladies, and beat him and went away and leaving him half dead. So what does this tell me? See, there's something that's burning in my heart. We live in a culture right now that are vulnerable. And when someone is vulnerable, then someone who doesn't treat them like they should be treated will destroy them. They're left vulnerable. Now, wait a minute. Because, say, sometimes we can easily get into the mindset, oh, you deserve that. You were on the wrong path. Jesus didn't say that. Come on. See, let me just tell you, no one deserves to be beaten. No one deserves to be robbed. No one deserves to be stripped. Are you hearing me? And see, the problem sometimes with social media is the social media will take on a political viewpoint because politics doesn't care who they strip. So whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, whether you're on the Green Party or a Libertarian, you know what I mean? I mean, the thing is, that's not the issue. The issue is not your political party. You're not just a neighbor to your political party. You're a neighbor to those who have been stripped and who are vulnerable. See, that's what he's saying. This man is exposed. He's left for dead. Nobody's around him to take care of him. Nobody's there. Now, let me just say this. We know the story. So the priest comes by. The priest is on his way to Jericho. And when the priest sees him, we know that he walks across to the other side. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I was wondering why the priest would do that. That means the very person in culture that was supposed to help that person. Come on, the very person that was anointed to take care of that need didn't utilize what he was called to do because he was more concerned about going to church. Now, come on, church, because that's not my neighbor. My neighbors, they're waiting for me to hear me preach. No, that's your neighbor. Now, you have to understand something. And the reason why he did not want to go over and help the man, that he come under the assumption that the man was dead. Do you know what? Sometimes people have been so robbed by the enemy that we come under the assumption that they are dead when all they're looking for is someone to breathe life back into their spirit. All they're looking is for somebody to say, I believe in you. I care about you. You're vulnerable. I don't want you to be beaten anymore. But he presumes that he's dead. And then the law says, if I touch something dead, I can't go up and preach and minister. So I'm not going to touch that guy. But let me just tell you, that's the old covenant. There's a new covenant. In the Old Testament, you touch things and you were unclean. In the New Testament, you touch things and they come back to life. And so then the crazy thing is this. The Levite doesn't just look at him and, I mean, doesn't just cross the street. The Levite walks over to him, looks at him, and says, I don't want to help him. And I thought about this. Because then the Bible says the Samaritan. And the Bible says the Samaritan, when the Samaritan saw him, he bandaged his wounds and he put oil and wine on him. Everybody say, bandage his wounds and put oil and wine on him. I thought about this, my brother. You know what I thought? Maybe the reason why the priest and the Levite walked away from him is they didn't have any oil or wine. Because how many know a generation, there's a generation that needs oil and wine. That's why you got to come to revival. That's why you come to church. Because I want to get as much oil and much wine as I can carry. Come on. Because I don't know what I'm going to need it. I may need it tomorrow. I may need it on the way to church. I may need it at the restaurant. I may need it somewhere. And I want to make sure that I'm packing oil and wine.
Because maybe they said, well, we don't have enough wine for your wound. We don't have enough oil for your problems. We don't have enough. We can't refresh you. We don't have an anointing for you. But here is a man, a good Samaritan, that went on his journey prepared. Everybody say prepared. See, sometimes we got to think in our mind, I want to be prepared to love my neighbor. How can I prepare myself, fill myself up with so much oil and so much wine that when I see a need, I can meet that need? Oh, come on. Because let me just tell you, maybe the priests and Levite were so broke they couldn't do anything. Come on. Maybe they had designated all their money to their church and they didn't have enough to love their neighbor. They weren't, I'm not saying that we don't tithe, we don't give, we need to do that. But what I am saying is this, there has to be a call to love our neighbor in a whole nother level. Because if we loved our neighbor, we would not want to hurt them. We would not want to cause any ill will on them. And if something evil has happened to them, we would want to undo it. Let me explain something to you. And I want to explain it so you understand this. Because I am very concerned. I'm very concerned when a culture glues to a TV. Because let me just tell you, whether you watch Fox News, CNN, or ABC or NBC, it's all the same to me. I'll tell you why. Because when there's a tragedy in the earth, they display that drama for a day or two. Then they go on to the next tragedy. And they never grieve. They never weep. They never cry out. They never say, oh, what can we do to help them? What we can undo? What can we do to undo what the thief has done? Come on. They're never giving an answer what we can do. Now, why would you want to expose yourself to something that's only revealing the condition without undoing the condition? Come on, church. That's not the news I want to hear. I want to come to the house of the Lord and get enough oil and enough wine. And what I want to do, and I want to do what my wife always preaches, I want to spend time with Jesus, spend time with the Lord. Do you know why? So I can get the oil and the wine so that when I hear a tragedy in Sri Lanka, come on, I'm not just sitting there, oh, let's see what the next news. Now it's the president. We forgot Sri Lanka's old news. But yet there's people in Sri Lanka crying out for their relatives, tears falling on the street for loss. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then you've got other people that get so angry, let's just annihilate the Muslims. Come on, that's not the way that God is. He loves people. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? There, our neighbor, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's the interesting thing. I love this because when Jesus said this, so to the Levite, when he came by the place and saw him, he passed by the other side, which means there was so much indifference to the condition. And the thing is, media is indifference to human pain. So what does it do? What happens? When we become indifferent to human pain, it's very difficult for us to love our neighbor because we don't care about their condition, because we have been desensitized by their pain. And could it be the priest and the Levite have been watching Fox News all day, come on, from one tragedy to another, and watching TV all day, and then when they saw the condition, oh, that's old news, and just walk by. And here this man was probably crying out, help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me. But there was nobody to stop. But then God says, then the Good Samaritan. Everybody say the Good Samaritan. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. One translation says he took compassion on him. And I thought about this. Love has been the most misinterpreted word in the English language. Because if I love my neighbor or love someone, the greatest demonstration of love is not getting what I want from you. It's showing compassion on you.
And something has to happen inside the church today where we are burning with empathy for a culture that has been manipulated. We are burning for a people who have been left for dead. And we want to do something about it. We don't want to just sit in the pew, exist in life, and without saying, God, give me a heart that has compassion on the people that I don't even know. He didn't know his name. He didn't know where he was from. He didn't know his parents. He was not even from another country. Come on. But Jesus throws it back at it because Samaritans are hated. And you know, I'm just going to say this. In other words, if you're dying and you're on your last breath, you've been beaten and robbed, how many know you're not particularly care who would help you? Come on. That what color of skin they have, what background they have, you would welcome the help. That's what Jesus is throwing out of the man. Because he's took pity on him. And compassion isn't just saying, I'm sorry that you're in this condition. The compassion caused him to step off his donkey. Step off his donkey, interrupt his journey, say, you know what, right now I am going somewhere, but right now my neighbor is more important than where I'm going. Because loving my neighbor is more important than where God wants me to be at right now. Because right now, God wants me to love my neighbor. And so at that moment, he gets off his donkey. This is amazing. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, which means I'm going to be involved in your wounds. I'm going to do my best to see your wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put him on his own donkey, Meliana, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. In other words, you know what he does? He says, I'm going to step off my donkey, and I'm going to put you on mine, and I'm going to walk. And I'm going to drag you to the end. Everybody say to the end. What is the end? The church. I'm going to drag you to the church, to the inn. Because you know what? That's where they can take care of you. That's why. Now, the reality is that Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He's the one that stopped in our path when we were beaten by darkness, left for dead, bruised, broken. And guess what he did? He stepped out of heaven, come on, and carried us, come on, to the church. Aren't you thankful he did that? And when he did that, guess what he did? And I love this is that at that moment, then the next day he took out 2 denarii. Everybody say 2 denarii. Which tells me this man wasn't broke. Maybe the priest and the Levite didn't have 2 denarii, which means God wants to prosper you for one condition, and that is to love your neighbor. Come on. He wants to prophesy you. He wants to prophesy prosperity over you so that when you see a need, you can heal that condition. And that's why being impoverished on welfare is not God's plan. Barely making it on Social Security is not the plan of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the plan of God is to prosper you because broke people cannot help their neighbor. Simply as that. And the reality, ladies and gentlemen, he said he took out 2 denarii, which means he already put him on his donkey. He already bandaged his wound. He already poured oil and wine. And still then, I'm paying your bills right now. Jesus. Because loving our neighbor doesn't... loving our neighbor without giving is not loving our neighbor. Loving our neighbor without generosity is not laboring our... He pulled out 2 denarii, which means he's not asking the innkeeper, how much is it going to cost me for you to take care of him? How much is this going to cost me? He's pulling out, here's the money, come on. I'm going to give you the money up front. Whether or not it costs you that much or not that much, that's not the point. I'm going to give you enough to take care of him. Oh Jesus. What does that tell me? That tells me that Jesus has equipped the church and given the church enough resources to take care of their neighbor. Oh, come on. And it's not just money. He's given up his gifts. He's given up his fruit. He's given up his spirit. He's given up his life. He's given us his word. And we have already been given to so that we can take care of our neighbor. Yes. Two denarii. And gave them to the innkeeper. Now, notice what he tells the innkeeper. Now, see, there's another character. People don't talk about the innkeeper. The innkeeper is the church. Some of us will play the role of the Good Samaritan, and some of us will play the role of the innkeeper. Are you hearing me? And whatever role you play, you get to love your neighbor. It says, look after him. Everybody say, look after him. Which means, I'm gonna bring you somebody that's been beaten, that's fallen, that's been left for dead, and I want you to take care of them. Which means I really trust you. I trust you, Pebble Creek, that you will take care of what I send you. I trust you. I trust you, JC, that you will take care of this church. See, when my wife and I get, my wife reminds me of this all the time, and I've got to keep it forefront that, you know, when I walk into a church, I've been given this mic. Yeah. Yeah. This mic is like saying, I trust you, John, to take care of them. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That we can't take this lightly. When God puts somebody in my heart and I feel the unction to prophesy over them, John, I'm putting this person, I'm bringing them to you. You don't know their story. You don't know who they are, but they're my son, they're my daughter, and I'm bringing you there to take care of them. Church, wait a minute. See, because sometimes I think we have forgotten that we are called to take care of one another. I think that we have forgotten to take care of each other. Because you know what? There is no way that I don't want to take good care of my wife, my children, or my grandchildren. I want to take care of them because God, in his mercy and in his grace, has brought them to me. And it's my responsibility to take care of me and them. And not only that, he gave me the resources to do it. But not only do I want to take care, not only do I want to take care of just individuals, I want to take care of nations. I want to take care of nations, ladies and gentlemen. Because if I take care of nations, because sometimes God will not just hand you an individual, he'll hand you a nation to take care of. You know, Luke got a great word, and Luke came to me and after service today and said, and told me I'm going on a mission. That word was such confirmation because I'm going to go to Florida and Zambia and Italy. What might happen? God might hand him the nation of Zambia to take care of those people, Luke. Take care of them. Because sometimes we're just going through life and all of a sudden I'm just an innkeeper and all of a sudden God jumps in the door. Come on, hands us the resources and then hands us the person and says, I want you to take care of these people. See, I think that ministry is not about our agenda. It's not about how big we get, about the political will of the assemblies of God. That is not it. It's about taking care of people. And when we forget about taking care of people, we have forgotten about loving our neighbor. I want to take care. To tell you about taking care of our neighbor is back in November, my little granddaughter, Kayala, she's 10. She's my son. She's my oldest. And she's almost 11. So back in November, it was sort of late November, and she calls her grandma. I can still hear her little voice over the phone because when your grandkids call, how many know that you drop your study right there? What's she say? They called him. What does she want? She called her grandma and says, "Grandma," and I could hear the little voice say on the other line, "Grandma, can I go to the Philippines?" Because I was going to the Philippines in January. "Can I go to the Philippines with Grandpa to help him prophesy?" She's 10. Not 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. She's 10. What are you going to do? See, if you got a poverty spirit, really, the spirit of poverty. That's a spirit. If you got a poverty spirit, you say, "Well, I can't afford that." Now, what would that do to a 10-year-old girl? That would crush her. Well, Grandma doesn't have a poverty spirit. She has faith. Oh, come on. Because that was one of the most expensive phone call that I ever got in my life. Oh, come on, church. Because when Kayla at 10 years old calls, she can't go with Grandpa. She has to go with her parents, especially going overseas. Come on. And go, and not only, they live in Nashville. And just look it up tonight. Try to buy a ticket round trip from Nashville, not to Manila, but to Clark Air Force Base, where they just had an earthquake. And try to buy a ticket over there round trip and see how much that would cost. But when she got off the phone, tears are running down my eyes. Because what did God do? God just handed me this little girl, because I can't make my granddaughter want to do that. I can't do that on my best day, you know. But she's been around. That's why we have to expose our children to the gifts of the Spirit, church. Otherwise, we will lose a generation. We can't isolate them in the room and let them watch videos. Come on. We need to teach them to operate in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? And so Grandma comes up. We look at each other. You know what? You don't have to pray about those things. She bought 3 tickets that day. That day. That day. That day. And then I call my daughter-in-law and said, "Get her passport as fast as you can." She went to the Philippines, and she prophesied. And 2,000 people came out to the crusade at night, and the mayor of that city got saved, and my little granddaughter was standing on, oh, come on. Take care of them. Take care of them. Which means it might cost you. In fact, it not might, it will cost you. See, because sometimes what we don't, we want to take care without the cost. I don't want a cost. I want to be loved my neighbor, but I don't want it to cost me anything. But mostly, I think, too, is the reason why the priest and the Levite walked across the street is that, you know what? Your condition is convenience to my plans. It's an inconvenience to my plans. So I don't want to inconvenience myself. So because I don't want to inconvenience myself, that gives me permission to break the second commandment. I don't have to love my neighbor. Because it's an inconvenience to love my neighbor. That's why I'm calling you to do it. Because sometimes I could look at you and say, "John, it was an inconvenience to love you. But I bled for you. I died for you. I paid the price for you." That was a pretty big inconvenience, you know. I came down the earth out of streets of gold to come on dirt. Come on. And how about that inconvenience? So, okay, God, I get it. But the amazing thing is this. Look after him, he said. But this is what hit me. When I return. Everybody say, "When I return." We have to keep that in the forefront. When I return. I love the NIV. That's why I love this translation. I will reimburse you. One translation says, I'll pay you back. Oh, come on. Everybody say payback. Now, let me ask you a question. How many have ever done a job and they didn't pay you? How does that feel? How many know you really needed the money? You labored and they didn't give you the money. How many know it's very hard to go to work for somebody that doesn't pay you? We're done with them. I could imagine Sean making 5,000 t-shirts and then not pay him. Think about that. That would hurt. That would hurt. Because I labor, I had to hire a printing and all the things that I do to make a t-shirt, and I did the quality and I wanted it to be good, and then you don't pay me? I've had that happen in church. I went to, should I say it? You know, I went to one country. It wasn't Lithuania, it wasn't the Philippines. And they took an offering. This offering is for the man of God. He's prophesied all night. And they brought out a huge box. I mean, it was huge. Big cardboard box. And there were, 300 people there. And they came up. And I kid you not, that box was overflowing with cash. At the end of the night, I turned to the pastor from America who came with me, and I told them, you know what? They're not going to give it to me. And that's exactly what happened. I didn't get paid. Now, I want to tell you something, how that felt. I want to tell you how that felt. It's my story, honey. It's my story. Well, I got her today. She got me tonight. We tease each other. We're with each other 24/7 in a hotel. So we're having conversations like we would have in private in front of you. I'm sorry, but but I still do need to love my neighbor. But you know how I felt? I felt like they didn't care. They didn't care that I paid my ticket over there, that I preached, that I sweated, that I paid the hotel. They didn't care. You know, I knew something was wrong when I went through customs. I had to go through customs, and going through customs was fine. Then I had to catch a little puddle jumper to another village, a little four-seater airplane, and then I had to go through their screening. And they told me to take off my watch. Praise God, it wasn't the Apple Watch. And so then I walked through the screen and never got my watch back. I knew something was wrong then, right there. I knew something was wrong right there. But none of us don't like to be, we all want to be reimbursed for our labor. But church, let me just tell you, whether they reimburse me or not, doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Because being reimbursed by God, being paid by God, he says, when I return, I will pay you back. Now, when God pays you back, it's a lot better, come on, than the people who didn't pay you back. The people that robbed you, come on. See, God's a God of justice. He's the vindicating God. And you know what? God's not going to sit down. I'm going to let my people just not be paid back. I'm going to step in. I'm going to pay you back. That's why when I know, when I go out of my way to actually love my neighbor with my actions, with my wallet, with my effort, guess what God will do? God will look down and say, John, I will pay you back. Which means, guess what? I'll get 160, I'll get 30, 60, 100 fold in this life. I'll pay you back. In other words, you won't lack for nothing. I'll pay you. Oh, Jesus. I'm getting excited right now just thinking about this. Because I have found out my wife, my wife does this. So the pastor that we were just with, he starts crying. He's made 10 trips to Romania. He's in his 70s, and he's looking for an exit strategy. And he's in his 70s. I mean, he's fiery, on fire. He's a very, very tall man. He's about 6'7". big man, but he's a father. And his wife is your typical, she's just beautiful, she makes food, she's just amazing, and they're an amazing couple. And he says, John, my heart is burning from Romania. I haven't been there for a year and a half. Basically 2 years. We then look at each other. We look at each other. If someone bought your ticket, would you go? No, tell me. He's showing us pictures of these gypsies. The average salary in Romania is $200 a month. He shows me pictures. And they want him to come. And they want him to preach. And they want him to travel. And he can't come because he can't afford the plane ticket from where he lives in California all the way to Romania. My wife and I look at each other. My wife and I look at each other and we just decide, you know, right there, we don't even pray about it. Because that's my neighbor. Romania is my neighbor. Come on. And here's a guy that has all kinds of doors that can affect an entire nation. And we have a heart for Eastern Europe anyway. And so we look at each other and then I open my mouth. And I said, oh, what if someone buy your ticket? Well, said, I would go then. I said, Meliana, buy his ticket. I didn't look at how much the ticket was. I'm not kidding you. This happened. On Friday, I'm losing my dates. On Wednesday, we buy the ticket. Wednesday. This past Wednesday. On Friday, I'm at church. This is no joke. This no happen. These people come in, we know them. They own a resort. We know them. They support our ministry. The daughter and the mother walk in, and they want to show us their brand new Mercedes, $250,000 Mercedes. And they let me drive it. Man, this costs more than my house. It looks like an airplane. It's going to take off. Come on. We get out of the Mercedes. They hand me two checks, one for $5,000 and one for $10,000. Now, church, why doesn't that happen to people? Because they don't understand. God repays more than what you gave. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And my wife and I have realized when we love our neighbor, you know what? It may be a sacrifice at the moment. There may be times when we're not totally agreement on everything, but when we are agreement on loving our neighbor, and when that happens, God repays. Because this is what he said. This is the verse that hit me, Meliana. He says, when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Everybody say extra expense. Most of us don't like extra expenses. Because we don't plan for extra. Which means I'm going to give you the resources to take care of him, look after him. And guess what? If there's something extra that you've got to take out of yourself, guess what? I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna reimburse you for all the extra tears, all the extra brokenness, all the extra pain, all the extra pressure, all the extra stress, all the extra anxiety. I'll come and I'll heal you and I'll reimburse you. Oh, come on. Come on and give God a shout of praise. I said, oh God, sign me up to love my neighbor. I'll do it. I'll love my neighbor. I'm going to love my neighbor so much that on Christmas time, I sat down my entire family, my two daughters, my son-in-law, my son, my wife, and my grandchildren. And I said to them, listen, all of you are prophets. All of you. You don't have any other choice. You're all prophets. They do. I make them all prophesy. I almost made Patrick prophesy right after driving all the way from Lincoln to Kansas City. And you guys are all prophets. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to do our part to undo human trafficking. How many agree with that? How many agree with that? How many agree that nobody should be coerced, enslaved, or humiliated against their will? Come on. I was in Nevada a week ago, I guess it was, or so. Yes, a week ago. A week ago. It was 1 week ago on Easter. It was Easter last Sunday. I was in Nevada, Good Friday. And you know what? And I got up in the church, and I started prophesying that every brothel in Nevada would close. Oh, come on, church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because you know what? You know what? I don't look at things the way the world looks at. People are inconvenient. They're my neighbor. I got to do something about it. Come on. I can't just live my life without an awareness of what's going on in my world. I need to love my neighbor. I got a heart for Eastern Europe. I find out just the other day, 800,000 women have been trafficked from the country of Moldova. 800,000. It's almost the size of Kansas City from one nation. And I'm not going to just sit back and say, oh, you know what? Let me drive my Mercedes. Uh-uh. I am going to do something about it. I'm going to, and guess what? When there's an extra expense, there's a God in heaven that's going to reimburse you. Come on and give God a shout of praise. I love this. I'm going to wrap this up right now. I'm going to have Sean come up to the guitar, and if the worship team would make their way up, because this is what he said. Which of these three do you think was their neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He's asking him the question. Who do you think was really the neighbor? Because you know the answer to the question, but you don't have any application in your life. There's no action. What does he say? The man says, well, then the expert of law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Which means all of us in this room are called to undo the traumatic experiences that people have gone through. Do you realize that that Jew that was beaten, stripped, and left for dead also had trauma? Let me just tell you, because we live in a culture right now that they have replaced prophets with psychologists. And why are we dealing with a culture that is filled with trauma? Because we in the church, ladies and gentlemen, have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is able to reach into an area of trauma and pull that trauma out, put oil and wine on that trauma, bandage that wound, and make that person whole. I want to heal a traumatized generation. How many say I want? How many agree with me? How many agree with me tonight? Lift your hands toward heaven. Father, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It is a light upon our path right now. We thank you for the word of the Lord in this church right now. We thank you that there is a culture, a generation that is not just going to love their neighbor with the right answer. They're going to love their neighbor with the right action, the right application. You can put your hands down. Young man, would you stand up? I like you. You got a Cubs hat. In Kansas City. Stretch forth your hands to this young man. Meliana, come and lay a hand on him, would you, please? I heard the word of the Lord even this morning over you. Talk about a good Samaritan. Talk about someone who has compassion. Hold your hands out like this. You're the young man that has that. You're burning with that. the Lord says this to you. I'm going to give you so many donkeys that whoever has been left by the side of the road, you're going to pick up hundreds of people that most people are walking away from. You're going to bring people back to life. You are going to go into ministry, son, because your compassion is going to propel you. You are going to be successful in ministry because your compassion is going to propel you. I am even raising you up right now and giving you a prayer life and a hunger and a vision to be that good Samaritan in your generation. I'm going to hand you nations, son. I'm going to hand you nations. You're going to travel places. You're going to begin to see things and what's happening outside of your sphere, right outside of your world here in Kansas City. You're going to go to other nations, and God will put a nation on your heart. He will mark your heart with that nation. And you will dream of returning. You will cry out, and God will open the door for you. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never to be the same again. Come on and give God a praise right now. Give God a praise in the house. Where's his mom and dad? Is his mom and dad here? Mom and dad not here? You came to church by yourself? How old are you, about 13? Came to church by himself. How'd you get here? How many 12-year-olds come to Sunday night with a sweaty prophet? Come on. Not too many, but this guy does. I love him. God's going to use him. God's going to use him. I like this couple right here, husband and wife. I want you guys to stand up. I feel this in my spirit. Both of you just come over here. I like Angie and Pastor JC. Could you just come and lay your hands on this precious couple? How many appreciate this couple in the house of God? How many appreciate them? You know, I've seen you most. I haven't had a really chance to fellowship with you at any time. But when you were sitting back there, the Lord spoke to me, both of you guys. I want you guys to grab each other's hand. The Lord says, you will rescue my daughters, both of you. You will rescue my daughters who are crying out, help me. You will be involved in ministry. You will be involved in helping girls that are in street prostitution, in places where they feel like there's no way out. Addicted to drugs and methamphetamine. But you will be a source. You will be a rose to them. You will be a shining light. You will be, as I preached this morning, a marvelous light to them. Because God's putting anointing on both of you. Because God has blessed you, sir. God has blessed you, daughter, with revelation after revelation after revelation. And the Lord, I want you to put your hand on your wife's heart, sir. The Lord has put dreams inside your heart. He's been giving you the burden of Nehemiah. The Nehemiah burden is what I call it. Where you have been weeping and crying out, oh God, I need your favor. Oh God, hear the cry. Because you hear something, you want to respond to it. But you know, because you've matured, you know that when we can't just react in our emotions. We've got to let those emotions seal. We've got to let the word of the Lord set and seal in our heart. And that's maturity. And the Lord says, just as Nehemiah, who had wept for 4 months, fasted and prayed. You have been weeping and fasting and praying for 4 years. And the Lord says, even now, I am answering your cry. And there's favor that you need with certain key leaders. And the Lord says, as Nehemiah got favor with the king, so I am giving you favor with leaders. And your husband, who has his hand on your heart, is going to help fuel the very dream in your soul. Father, I thank you for this couple. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you even now. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for this man's deep sense of care. Care for the feelings for others. I thank you for his intelligence. Not only his logic, but his pragmatic way of looking at things, because we need that perspective. And the Lord says, because you think, you will not react in anger when you see darkness. You will react with righteous indignation, with wanting to even restore both sides, the criminal and the one who has had the crime against them, the victim. You will heal both criminal and victim, says the Lord. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, touch them right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Are you glad you came to church? Are you glad you came to church? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sow into this word. I'm going to give the mic to JC. After we take the offering, I'm going to come right back and we're going to move into altar ministry right after that, Pastor JC.
Hallelujah. We're going to take up an offering. We're going to bless this ministry. If you have your normal, you know, you need to give your tithe or a mission, you know, your missions pledge or something, just use the envelope. Make sure you mark it on your envelope. But this is for Brother John and Meliana tonight. Heavenly Father, with those helping with the offering, come forward, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord, for what you continue to do in the lives of so many people, Lord, of your people. And we pray, God Almighty, Lord, that it doesn't just end here. Lord, your word is going deep into our spirit, into our souls, Lord Jesus, and it's for the future. It's for now. It's for the future. It's to redeem. It's to help clarify our paths, Lord, and where you'd have us go is to reaffirm that you have a calling on our lives, Lord, to pour your encouragement and to help build us up and to give us comfort, God. I know that. And so, Lord, I just pray you would take tonight's offering, God. Take tonight's offering, God. Bless it, Lord. Multiply it. Prosper it. Use it for your purposes. Use it for your blessings, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Would you guys stand up? Guys, stand up. They, I don't know. I have a large population of people from Nebraska tonight in the house. Maybe I need to go to Nebraska too. But I want you guys to come forward. I'm going to ask Sarah and Patrick to come up with me and just lay hands on this precious couple. I don't know, Sarah, do you remember Pastor Brian Reynolds? Do you remember him in Oahu at any time? No, Pastor Josh was there, but he had been there. But Pastor Kelly, who's on staff at KCR Work, that's his sister. That's her sister. Yeah, Sarah. Yes. I want you guys just to lay hands on these two. And you know, I my wife and I so appreciate. Come on, Meliana, come stand here. Come stand here, sweetheart, with me. Yeah. I just appreciate you guys making the drive. And I needed to pray over you. I needed to clear. I know I saw you guys in Oregon last month, and I believe it was last month, and begin to speak into your lives. But I the Lord, right before I came to church,
You know, and I shut my eyes for a moment, just reflection. And I'm just thanking the Lord for you. And I heard the Lord say that there is a dream in your guy's heart for a ranch, for a place, a home where people can go and get refreshed. A dream where people who have lost their vision, lost their hope, really lost their compass, lost their direction in life can come. And the outdoors, the cooking, the family camaraderie, the fellowship, and of course the prayer, the prophecy and all that God does that way really begins to heal and makes them completely whole from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. And I just heard the Lord say, these next 7 years are so critical that I want you to begin to prophesy, decree, declare where you want it to be. I want you to be very specific and strategic in the piece of land you want, the kind of building you want, because what you want hasn't been built yet. It's raw land. But you have a vision in your mind's eye. And the Lord says that what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it in increments. I'm going to do it in pieces. And the Lord says that as you begin to decree and declare, then the things in the atmosphere, the extra, the denarii that is need in the atmosphere is going to be handed to you. Because all of this is an act of loving your neighbor. All what you do is everything that you are burning for is this message of loving the neighbor, and there really is there's a problem in our country. There's not enough innkeepers. There's not enough inns. There's not enough to put the people that are in the condition that this man was. And there needs to be a place where people can get their wounds healed. Get their, and not just their physical wounds, but their emotional wounds and spiritual wounds. Their guilt healed. And I just heard the Lord say, I'm beginning to form and shape things. I am beginning to speak places. I am beginning to put this place that has a creek running through it, trees around it. It has a U-shaped driveway. It has a gravel driveway. It has buildings that are scattered, and there's a small lake alongside of it. And I hear the word of the Lord, because you have the eye for beauty. I will release it to you. I will release it to you. But there, it's going to take supernatural creativity. It's going to take supernatural strategy. It's going to take the plow and prayer. It'll plow and prayer. Plow and prayer. And as you plow and as you pray, you will look back and I will build your dreams, says the Lord. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, touch them right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Can we give God a shout of praise right now? Hallelujah. 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 I want everyone to stand. Everyone to stand all over this. How many want to be that innkeeper? Come on. How many want to love your neighbor? How many are going to look at that parable completely different? Yes. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to brag on you folks. I'm going to brag on you folks. As Pastor JC said, this is our seventh year. And the reason why we come back, I'll tell you why we come back. Because you have shown love to my wife and I, by your generosity and by your fellowship. And how much can I say about Pastor Karen and Pastor Dennis, who we so enjoy. And now God raising up JC and his beautiful wife, the worship team, and we feel like we're coming in an atmosphere. Well, you're taking care of us. Oh, yeah, we're prophesying, we're preaching. But we can do that anywhere.
But I'm coming into a church where there's innkeepers here. Revival is an extra expense, you know that? That's why people don't experience revival. Because they want church, but they don't want an extra expense. But I'm preaching to people that don't mind an extra expense. Because sometimes the extra expense is going to bed late. Sometimes the extra expense is giving every night. Sometimes the extra expense is being that usher, being on the drums or on the piano or the bass or the guitar or behind the... Sometimes the extra expense is these children. Come on. Because they got school tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. But let me just tell you, I've seen the Lord when I went the extra mile, when I went the extra expense. None of my grandchildren are sick. None of my children are sick. Their marriages are healthy. They're serving the Lord. My children are in full-time ministry. And I look back. He repays. He repays. He repays. He repays. He repays. He repays. Just lift your hands and worship Him. God, I thank You that You repay. I thank You that You're a God that repays when we love our neighbor. I thank You that You are a God that when we say yes to Your commands, that You repay. But You not only repay, You give us extra, oh God, over and above. And God, I cannot thank You enough even right now. I thank You that even now, as I decree in the atmosphere, I decree in the atmosphere that the dreams that are in the hearts of these people, the dreams that are in their heart, oh God, the God dreams, the God desires, the desire to help others, the desire to love their neighbor, that You would give them the denarii. You would give them the means to fulfill those dreams, oh God. Lord Jesus, that parable tells me that I never have to feel ill-equipped. I never have to think I don't have enough. I never have to think that I don't have enough bandages, enough oil, or enough wine. That doesn't cross my mind. I never have to think that I don't have the health to pick somebody up and put them on a donkey, that I am weak and I can't carry. I never have to think that way, because, Lord Jesus, when I think the way You think, oh God, something happens to my body. Something happens to me biologically. There's someone here that has a severe case of arthritis. Tonight, God is going to heal you right now. Where are you? You have a severe kick. It's your hands. The Lord wants to heal you tonight. He wants to heal you tonight. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I see somebody pointing over here. The Lord is doing something. Come here, sister.
Thank You, Jesus.
Congregation, stretch forth your hands to our sister.
Thank You, Jesus.
Sarah, come and put your hand on her.
Thank You, Jesus.
So Tracy. Stacy, come over here and put your hand on this woman. Jesus. Meliana, put your hand on this woman. Right now, right now, right now, right
thank
now,
you,
right
Jesus.
Now. I command every nerve. Sarah, put your hand on, right here, up, back, right over here, up above her neck. Just put it right there. Father, I come against any neurological damage in her body right now. I come against it right now. And I command the nerve endings from the top of her head down to the soles of her feet, that feeling would return, strength would return, that the brain waves would begin to align with Your creative power right now. Let there be light. Let light come on this body. Let light come.
come on this woman. Father, she has been through enough. She has gone through too much trauma and torment. Let it stop tonight. Let it stop tonight. Let it stop tonight. She's too young. She's too much of a princess. She's too much. She's too beautiful to be in that condition. Restore your beauty. Restore her to fullness. Restore her to who she is supposed to be, oh God. There it is. There it is. There it is. God is touching you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now lift your hands and thank Him. Now lift your hands, ma'am, and thank the Lord. Lift your hands and begin to thank God. Begin to thank God. Begin to thank Him. Begin to thank Him out loud. Now fill her full of the Holy Ghost. Fill her full of faith. Fill her full of praise. Begin to praise God, ma'am. Begin to praise God out loud. Begin to praise God. Begin to praise God with your voice. With your voice. Tell Him you love Him. Tell Him you love Him. Tell Him you love Him. I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes. I love you, Jesus. You're healing me, Jesus. You're making me brand new, Jesus. You're making me whole. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, come on and give God a shout of praise in the room right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ma'am, right here with the glasses. Would you come forward, please? Just lift your hands to Jesus. I'm going to need an usher to stand behind her. That'd be great. Congregation, I want you to stretch forth your hands to her. I looked over at you while I was praying for our sister, and I believe the Lord spoke this to me. I felt like this is what I heard. You will undo everything that the robber has done to your family. You will heal that which is so traumatizing. That which is so evil, you will heal the wounded soul. You who may not have four PhDs, but you have the favor of God on your life. And the favor of God is greater than an educational degree, and praise God for an educational degree, but the favor of God bypasses that. And the Lord is going to put you in positions and put you in places where people say, we don't know what to do with her. We don't know what to do with him. So we called you. You'll walk in the room. People will be having seizures. They will be having meltdowns of autism and things. And you'll walk in the room. And you open your mouth and you say, enough is enough. Jesus, do a miracle. I'm going to tell you, in 2019, you're going to see significant miracles begin to take place instantaneously because of what God has begun to show you and the things that you've walked through. You're going to calm storms. You're not going to jump ship. You're going to calm storms. Because Jesus is walking alongside of you. Because when you were standing over there, I saw two angels standing next to you with four swords, two swords in each hand, waving them over you.
so that you do not have to be afraid of any assignment that you have maybe stepped into something you have never done. I shall be with you, says the Lord. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, that there be an anointing released upon her right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the anointing come on her right now in Jesus' name, never to be the same again. There it is. God is touching you right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Let's worship Him, saints. Let's worship Him. Let's worship Him.
Oh, Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. You are my one defense and my righteousness. Rise to You when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand or fall on You. Oh Jesus, You're my hope and stay.
Prophesy over someone. Say, you will undo what the thief has done. Really, that's all of our jobs. Whether I'm 11 or whether I'm 85. Has nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with background. Even nothing to do with my education or an economic status. It's the call of God. And I want to ask you a question tonight. How many in this room want to undo what the thief has done?
Amen.
Come on. I want to undo it. I want to undo it. See, that's why we're a church. That's why we're a church. You know, because, you know, when we came to church and Miliana was showing me the picture and we were tears were coming down my eyes. What happened? The thief had tried to take that little boy. Cute as a button. Look like my little grandson. Let me tell you something. If it was my little grandson, no wonder grandma is up on her face at the altar weeping at church every night, crying out, then making sure her daughter gets to church. You know, we were in February of this year. We're in Norco, California, which is outside of Riverside, outside of L.A. We go there for a Sunday through Wednesday, like here, and on Sunday night we did because the ministry, they have a Spanish work, and we did a joint service, and there were several people there, 400 people there in the meeting, and lady walked up to Meliana, said, "Do you remember me? Come here, lady."
When I stepped down from the platform, a lady walked up to me and she said, "Do you remember me?" And I look at her, yeah, like I remember, because we've seen thousands of people, how many times, how many different churches we go a week. And then I look at her and I said, "I'm very sorry, ma'am, I don't remember you." And she said, "Okay, last year, a year ago, I was so sick in the hospital. I was in the hospital for 2 months, all kind of infection, nothing helped, The doctor, nothing helped her. And then we were in town, hold a revival, and had two kids in high school. Went into the hospital, brought their mother to the church last year. She explained to me, and I said, oh, yeah, now I remember. And she said, yeah, I was brought to church the last night when you were here last year. And you guys pray over me and prophesy. I know it's not only us. The church also, they pray for her. And then she was telling me all what happened that night. And then she pulled out her phone and showed me a video of us praying and prophesy over her. Totally healed her that night. And that's why I did not recognize her this year when we were at that church. She said, I went back to the hospital, got everything out, and God totally healed me and set me free. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Her stomach was several feet out, completely bloated because of infection inside her body.
And I post a picture.
And I thought about this. What kind of sons come to church, hear the word, and then say, go out, go and do likewise? Mm-hmm. Went down to the hospital before the meeting was done. Brought her out of the hospital. Brought her up to the altar. No wonder she got healed. It had nothing to do with us. I told the lady, God's the hero, but those two boys said, I'm not letting the devil have my mother. I'm not letting the sickness rob my mother. She's left for dead. I'm going to be the good Samaritan. Come on. Because you know what? I've been around the country. I don't see very many. What we do is we got loved ones in the hospital. Pray. I hardly ever see people bringing the loved ones in the hospital to the revival. I don't see that too much. That's probably why we don't see many miracles. Come on. But I honestly believe that we have to go and do. This is an hour we have to go and do likewise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we cry out, oh God, I want to see signs and wonders. I want to see miracles. I want to see the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the blind see. But are we bringing them to the altar? Oh, come on. But I want to undo. If that's you, come on, that's me. I want to be like that. The innkeeper, the good Samaritan, loving my neighbor. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to run to this altar right now. 1, 2, 3. Come right now.
It's your breath in my lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out.
Favor, would you just lay your hand on this precious young lady?
Thank you.
I just want you to hold your hands out like this. You know, this morning and even tonight, I just see the light of God shining all over your face. And I just want to let you know something. You are a light. You're a light, like a huge mag light on a dark path. And I heard the Lord say this. There's going to be people you go to school with, people you interact with, that really don't know what it means to live. They don't know what it means to live. They're not experienced in life. There's going to be people that are going to be very, very transparent with you. They're going to come up with you. tell them about their fears, some of them about their cutting of themselves, some of them is of their immorality. It's not going to shock you. You're not going to judge them, but you're going to shine the light on them. And I just heard the Lord say, there'll be people that talk to you that you will show them the path of life. You will show them how to love God and how to love their neighbor and how to love themselves. Because you would know this, you would agree with this, that if someone wanted to commit suicide, they're not really loving themselves. Because if they love themselves, they wouldn't want to harm themselves. And then if they love themselves, they wouldn't want to harm their neighbor, because if they hurt their neighbor, it's hurting themselves ultimately. And if they love themselves, they would love God, because loving God is really means to love myself the most. And I just heard the Lord say that that message in Deuteronomy 6:5 is going to be your message. That first commandment is going to be burned on you and sealed on you. And that first commandment is going to literally propel you into your future. It's going to be why you make decisions. I want to tell you this. Do not forget what I'm going to tell you, because it's a word of guidance. Don't make a decision where to go, where to work, based on economics. Make the decision based on your spiritual life. That where is the place that's causing my love for God to grow? That's the place you should go. Not where my love for God to diminish. Not where the love of God isn't at, but where my love would grow and mature. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never to be the same again. Can we worship the Lord? Can we worship the Lord? Can we worship the Lord? Can we worship the Lord?
You are love. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Give life, you are love, you bring life to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Oh, it's your
up to me, and this is what he said. Meliana, he said this to me, this little guy right here. I feel like the Lord wants me to say something.
Pastor Dan, wherever you are, could you bring Skylar up here? Hey, buddy.
We got two prophets up here.
Skylar, I feel like God wanted me to say that you're going to do things in life.
Yeah.
You've had a better life now that you're with Pastor Dan, and that you may have rough times, but they're going to get better.
I'll take that word. I'll take that word. Amen. You're going to have a better life when you're with Pastor Dan. How many know you have a better life if you're around the man of God? Come on. I'll take that word for me too. I'll take that word for me too. Our children are prophesying. Our children are prophesying. How old are you? 12 years old. Put your hand on your heart right now. I want you to say this after me. Jesus, here I stand in your presence. Tonight, I did not hear a sermon. I heard a call. I heard a call from your heart about what it means to love my neighbor. And Lord, there are times when I fulfill the role of the Good Samaritan, and other times as the role of the innkeeper. Lord, you choose. But Lord, right now, forgive me if I've acted with arrogance, with pride, and indifference. I don't want to be like that expert, like that priest, or like that Levite. I want to love my neighbor. Now lift your hands and thank him. Just tell him thank you. Just thank him for empowering you now. Thank him for empowering you right now. Thank you for the anointing to empower. The anointing to do. The anointing to deliver. The anointing to fulfill that which he has called you to fulfill. Not all of us pick up nations, but all of us pick up something. Each of us has our sphere, our assignment. May we be faithful in that place, oh God. Loyal to you. Loyal to what you've done, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I decree that over the house. I decree that over your people. I decree that over your sons and over your daughters. There's a young lady, I see her with a white hat. If you could make your way up here, sweetheart. I'd like some of your friends to lay hands on you. You can step right there. You can just step right there. Just lay hands on this precious young lady. I just heard the word of the Lord that it seems like just the last few months has been very, very difficult to find reality, to find what's important. And I just heard the Lord say, tonight, God is going to solidify you. God is going to speak to you. And what he's saying to his daughter is this: no matter what anybody says, you have what it takes. You have what it takes. No matter that the times when your emotions feel like, oh God, why am I feeling this way? And I'm trying to maintain some kind of balance. That the Lord says that not all emotions are wrong or negative. That God is a God of emotions. And you don't have to hold back the times when you cry or you feel angry or feel like you've been left out. That's not wrong. But I'm going to let you know something right now. When people are out of touch with who they are, they begin to behave in a way that they shouldn't. I'm not going to let that happen to you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect your heart. I'm going to protect your mind. I'm going to protect you from the arrows of this world, the culture that is flying all over you.
I'm going to intercept those arrows for you. Because what I'm going to do for you is I'm not going to let you get hit. Because right here at this altar is where you find your identity. Not at school, not on a movie, not on YouTube, not on the internet, but at the altar of the Lord. And God says this about you. I saw you. I saw you with all this makeup in your hand. And I saw you standing in a shop. And there were women sitting there who had all kinds of scars all over their faces. But you went and you put what was in your hand on their face and changed their complexion and the way they looked in the mirror. That's what you will do. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on and thank the Lord. Come on and thank the Lord. Come on and thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We adore you. We love you. You are so good. Hallelujah. One more time, Sean. Raise your voice, congregation.
So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You only. Great are you, Lord. Oh, you give life.
You know, every year that the Harkies have been coming, it seems like I'm not being critical of anybody right now. It probably might sound a little bit. But I've always been bothered by, you know, just people not coming to these services. And it seems like since becoming the head pastor, I've been even more bothered by people not coming to these services. But I'm not, and it's not that I'm angry. I grieve. It's a grieving of the spirit of what people are missing. And so I try to turn that, when I start to have emotions about it, to turn that to prayer. Praying for individuals that God lays on my heart. And that's what, you know, if tonight, if tomorrow, God lays people on your heart, pray for them and maybe text them, call them, say, hey, I'd love to see you at these services. Just invite, just be encouraging, invite people to come. But, you know, I don't want to focus completely on them. I want to focus on those who've made the effort to come. to make. I mean, it is. I mean, if you have kids, I mean, you've got all kinds of stuff going on in life. But I think those of us who are here recognize God's worth it to come and not miss what God is doing. To make that sacrifice of your time to come and just be a part of what God is doing during this time. This is a precious time. This is a precious time. It's really, you know, one time a year, one for a few days, where we lay everything else aside and we just come in anticipation and focus on God and praying and seeing what God is doing. And I'll tell you what, to see Andrew... Is that not worth what we're doing here? You know, sometimes I think people think, well, you know, what, I don't know what they think. I'm not going to get into what they think. I don't know what people think. But to see, I mean, just good transformation, seeing what God can do. And how he changes hearts, how he encourages, how he builds people up. And that's awesome. God is awesome. So Heavenly Father, we just praise you. And I thank you, Lord, for the Harkies and their obedience to the call that you've placed in their lives. And I know, Lord Jesus, God, that you have great things in store for the next three services at Pebble Creek. And I pray, God, that you would lay it on our hearts as we return, that you would also lay it on those people, Lord, who need to be here, who need to come and be ministered and be a part of, Lord, and let all the distractions, all the excuses, Lord, we come against that in the name of Jesus. And we pray, God, that those people that need to be here will be here. And we pray, God, for a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here tonight. Thank you, Lord, as we leave from here, your blessing upon us, God. We love you. We praise you in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. To him be all the glory. Amen. 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 God bless you.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, he's born.